It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you so much for being with me as we kick off the first Sunday in February. So we're climbing out of that hole of winter. Certainly has not been much of a winter so far. In fact, it's been awfully wet and mild in a lot of places, which is going to cause, as I've talked about, big time problems in the coming months. This morning's show, though, is not about that. I have the good fortune to have Neil Reddick on the line, who is a natural history cinematographer, movie maker, incredible photographer, done numerous movies for National Geographic, all kinds of outdoor films, as well as non-outdoor films, and who is working on this big IMAX project for the making of the IMAX movie Wings Over Water, which you'll hear more about in the coming year, but it will be one of the epic movies ever made about the prairies, migratory birds, water. And I happened to be on a film shoot with Neil earlier this week, and I thought it would be great to have him on the air to talk about some of his life experiences as a cinematographer, some of the places he's been. He actually grew up in Highland Park, Illinois, lives in Wisconsin now. But, Neil, you've been around the world, so thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much, Charlie. Yeah, I've been around the world. It's been quite a journey. And it's a pleasure to work on a film like this IMAX film that we're working on now.
So let's just start, Neil. How... you grow up as a boy in Highland Park. How on earth do you end up being one of the top natural history wildlife cinematographers in the world? How does that happen?
Well, back in the 60s, when I was a teenager, we lived in an area that was really close to a rural environment, right up next to farms and so forth. And I could literally walk for 2 miles out of my back door and not hit a fence or a road, which was awesome. And my mom and dad were incredibly supportive of letting me have all kinds of animals in the house, having like a backyard zoo, and then playing around with their Super 8 cameras as a sideline. And the two merged together, and, you know, down the road, this is what happened.
So you've traveled the world. Film has changed a great deal. I've seen some of the camera equipment you're using now, and my gosh, it's incredible. Just want to start off with, what was your first break? How did you go from someone who loves the outdoors, loves photography, to being in the movie making business?
Well, my first real project, I became obsessed with large unknown eagles, the harpy eagle especially. Which lived down in the Amazon. And I was bound and determined to go down and do something about it and find out what this bird was all about. It had never been filmed before, never been really studied. And so I got together a couple of friends from high school, hauled garbage and painted houses to raise the funds, and set out back in 1973 down to Suriname in South America to look for this rare, huge eagle that preyed on monkeys in the rainforest canopy. Ended up finding a nest, staying there for 9 months in a hut in the rainforest, falling out of trees, getting tropical diseases, but coming back with the goods and publishing an article in Audubon magazine.
I'm speechless.
That's how it started.
What about, how's that for launching a career? Everyone listening, would that be your idea, how you want to launch your career, falling out of trees in the Amazon and catching diseases? So you obviously had a camp. You were not doing movies then. You were doing photography. And you came up with this. Oh, you were doing movies.
Yeah, sorry. We were actually doing both. We were doing stills with Nikons and 35mm slide film. And also 16mm motion picture with spring-wound Bolex cameras back in the day.
So back in the day, as you said, how did you So you have cameras. You're in a really remote area. How did you get electricity? How did you power these things? It sounds to me like you literally you launched off into a place where few people have ever been.
You're exactly right. No one had been there except for a few of the local Amerindians. And we most of our camera gear was spring wound, was hand wound cameras. Camera called a Bolex. We really a simple unit. The problem is that when you wind it up, you get a 27 second shot before you have to wind it again. So there were no generators. We had lanterns and candles, and we just lived off. We actually hunted. We hunt peccary, deer, and we'd set snares and deadfalls to catch capybara and other animals. So we kind of lived off the land. And it was a long time, 9 months in the rainforest, living, you know, without electricity.
So we're visiting with Neil Rudy, who is one of the world's finest cinephotographers for natural history and the outdoors. And this is the first experience, Neil, you're describing in your life, right out of college. So from there, obviously, you published with as you just said, you published with Audubon, and in a way, the rest is history, but you have been, before we take a break here, and when we come back, I'm going to ask a few questions about the challenges you face and things. Obviously, there's weather, and there are all kinds of things, and we're here making the IMAX movie Wings Over Water, and we're absolutely facing some of those challenges. But from there, have you been all over the globe? What are some of the other interesting places you've been?
Well, I spent a lot of time in the Philippines because right after our Harpy Eagle expedition, 2 years later, we ended up going to the Philippines to study and look for the rarest eagle in the world, the Philippine eagle, which back then was called the monkey-eating eagle, and that was in the late 70s. And we ended up succeeding in finding nest sites there, publishing an article on National Geographic, doing a film for World of Survival, and then after that success, the BBC started to call me for doing dangerous work in trees because I was, you know, quite experienced tree climbing. So I was then sent all over the world to the tropics mainly to do dangerous work.
This is becoming more incredible all the time, Neil. And we're proud to call you an Illinois native, but I don't think, has anyone told your story in a way that captures the fullness of what your career has spanned? Has this been done?
Actually, Charlie, Cornell has just produced a film, a story kind of my life, my return to the Philippines, to look again for the Philippine Eagle with high-definition equipment. And this project we launched in 2013, and it is now streaming online, and anybody can look at, Google it in. It's birdofprey.com, and it's through Cornell Laboratory of Ornithology. And that's kind of a summation of my life and some of my ambitions, and it's mainly a conservation film on the Philippine eagle to try to help save it from extinction.
So are there as many Philippine eagles today as when you were there 40 years ago?
Philippine eagle population has dwindled so much because it is a specialist bird that needs primary tropical rainforest. And in the Philippines, they've lost over 80% of their rainforest. So the eagles have declined to about 300 birds. And it's only found there, and it's critically endangered.
So at 300 birds, before we go to a break, is there hope for survival? Can they be reared in captivity? Can they get some sense of protection? Or is there going to be 200 and then none?
Very good question, Charlie. There's been a breeding project that I helped start. We started the breeding project in 1978, and now it's turned into what's an organization called the Philippine Eagle Foundation, They were instrumental in the film we did with Cornell, and they're featured highly in the film. And they've bred about 35 young Philippine eagles that have been released to the wild or used as additional breeding stock. So there is hope.
Well, let's take a quick break. We're visiting with Neil Reddick, who is one of the world's foremost natural history cinematographers. You are listening to Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and we're visiting with Neil Reddick. If you're just joining us, Neil is among the foremost natural history, nature, cinematographers ever. And I think I put it capital E with ever, Neil. And thank you so much for being with us. And if you've been with us for the show, you understand we're not talking to an individual who goes off in cushy places and makes great films. We're talking about a guy who has been beyond civilization in many extents to where you've gone, at least modern civilizations, we know it. So, Neil, you spent some time in the Arctic, too. You want to talk for a moment about you spent most of your time in the tropics. What about the Arctic? What changes have you seen in the Arctic, and do you have any thoughts on that?
The Arctic was an amazing place, and you're right. Most of my expertise and most of my experience have been in the tropics, in South America and the Philippines and other parts of Asia. But going to the Arctic, up near Baffin Island, and staying there for 4 months straight, camping on the edge of the ice and not taking a shower for the whole time, basically, was quite interesting. But it was absolute like being on the surface of the moon. You felt humble and small and overwhelmed with the hugeness of the place. It was an incredible experience. It was for a National Geographic special called Arctic Kingdom, Life at the Edge. And that was in 1993 when I went there. Since then, global warming has changed the patterns of the Inuit, changed the patterns of a lot of things up there, and have caused severe changes in the ice and melting of glaciers and just weather conditions that are different, affecting different animals and certainly affecting the way the native people move around up there. So it's really a tragedy, but it's a beautiful, magnificent place that needs to be protected.
So 4 months without a shower. Let's see, you've been to the Amazon and fallen out of trees, the Philippines, in the most remote parts of the Philippines, and you've been to the Arctic for 4 months without a shower. What's next, Neil? Tell us for a second, if you can, about this IMAX movie, which I know you've got modern plumbing, electricity. You're going maybe 4 days without a shower, but not 4 months. What brings you to the world of IMAX? We've got about 3 minutes left.
Well, I can tell you right now, the IMAX project was something that my wife and I jumped on because I've known Andy Young for a long time. He was the head of Archipelago Films, and his company's undertaken the huge job to make the IMAX film. But Andy kind of convinced me very quickly that this was an important film to make conservation-wise, and I've pledged to myself, to my wife, and my friends that I'm not going to pick up a camera and do anything unless it has value for conservation. And that's why I've taken this project on. And I think, yeah, I'm proud to be involved with it. And I, unlike other films, other film companies that produce something for TV and it's a flash in the pan and it's put on a shelf, this will be an ongoing tool for education and inspiration. And I'm excited to keep going with it and do my best.
Well, your best is the best in the world. There's no question about that. And so what about, you think about this movie Wings Over Water, it's focused on the prairies and saving the North American prairies so we can save birds. But the IMAX experience, what makes it so different from walking into a regular theater or watching on television? You just can kind of summarize, you said this, the cause here that you're after, or you're trying to create a movement, but why does the IMAX experience change everything?
Well, it's a tool, it's an image that's incredible in size, in grandeur, and effect. It is a difficult thing to produce, to make. It's a difficult creation. It takes tons of expertise, a lot of time, a lot of patience, and a lot of very, very dedicated people. But in the end, when the project's done and you see these spectacular vistas and wildlife behavior on a huge screen, an incredible definition with a soundtrack that reverberates through the studio, and there's moments in natural history that you will remember forever, and it'll be the most inspirational thing anybody would ever be able to experience. And that's why it's so powerful.
Well, I feel, Neil, incredibly humbled to have spent a few days with you this past week watching you at work. It's truly, you know, it might be the equivalent of watching one of the world's great surgeons, which I have not done, but watching you in the field and how you frame the situation and capture the images, I truly, for me, it's an eye-opening experience. And I thank you so much for taking the time to come on the Great Outdoors Show. We've been doing this a long time, and I've been doing it for 20 years. I have to say, Neil, I've never quite talked to someone with you who's had the kind of experiences you've had off the grid. Thanks, Neil. And Neil Reddick of The Natural, who's just the most incredible natural history cinematographer. Neil, as we sign off one more time, the website to get the Cornell movie on you, Neil, is?
You can look up birdofpreymovie.com, or you can just go on the Cornell website and you can find information about the movie. Or you can look up or go to neilreddickproductions.com, and there's links to information about the movie as well.
Well, thank you, Neil, very much. And all of you, thank you for listening to The Great Outdoors Show. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.